The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, again, bringing you a very fascinating, very interesting program, one that we're all somewhat affected by, but we'll talk about that and introduce you to my guests. But guess what? We beat the rain today. It's sun's out a little bit and a little bit of cloud, but the Washington metropolitan area seems to have stepped up, so get outside. And by the way, I want you to know that our crew, our staff, two of our doctors and a couple staff members are down at the Mosaic District down in Gallows Road, off of Gallows Road, and go down and say hello. It's right off the National Capitol Beltway. They're having an outdoor event. We're there in conjunction with a Virginia-based 501c3 called Caring for Others, and we're there disseminating information. So go down, say hey, and you know, tell them that. And by the way, if you're there right now, go up to the booth, but make sure you keep your headset in so you can continue listening to the program. We have a program today that kind of affects all of us broad base. And what that really is, you know, what goes into our mouth and tears up our intestinal tract and affects the brain and affects organ systems and causes tremendous amount of inflammatory reactions. And everybody wants to deny it because we are a society that loves its grains. We love our carbohydrates. You know, we forget about the things that actually make us grow and expand and do better physically. What are we talking about? We're talking about gluten and the fact that it is not what it used to be, and it can cause all kinds of crazy, unidentifiable problems. But, you know, we look at the gut first, and sometimes we don't. Having said that, I'd like to introduce you to somebody who I have tremendous, tremendous admiration for. One of our nutritionists in our center at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, none other than Annabeth Goss. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Rozelle. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's fun. You're always an amazement to me. The breadth and width of your understanding is secondary to very few. So let's get into it. We need to talk a little bit about gluten sensitivities. We'll talk about how you find them. We'll talk about what their impact is, the profundity, if you will, you know, how serious this type of thing can get. But why don't you start out simply by walking us through and describing what gluten really is and why it's such a problematic situation. And then we'll kind of give our listeners a whole bunch of things that they can do. But this Wednesday evening, the 6th of April, you're going to be our host, our presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. And we'd like to encourage everybody, if you'd like to know more about it and what to do about it, particularly, who better than to go to a nutritionist, right? So all you have to do is go to rozellecare.com and register, or call the office 703-698-7117. So my question to you, my dear friend, is let's talk about gluten. What is it?
What is it? That's a great question. So gluten is a mixture of proteins that are found in primarily wheat, rye, and barley. Sometimes it's often cross-contaminated in oats. Oats don't naturally have it on their own, but in the field where it's grown, or most likely in the manufacturing plants where it's processed, it gets contaminated with gluten. So those mixtures of proteins can be very problematic for people. I was speaking with somebody earlier, and she said, so if I'm avoiding gluten, what do I avoid? And she didn't quite make the connection that wheat. And where is wheat? Oh, it's in your breads. Okay, bread. So what else do I need to avoid? Cookies, crackers, chips, pretzels, cereals, pizza, anything that's baked. And her mind, her eyes just kind of got big of, wow, that's everywhere. I think I probably eat a lot of gluten.
And most people do, and they're not even aware of it.
Absolutely.
Here's the other situation for those people out there who are wine drinkers, and particularly when they think they're buying boutique wines. There's a stabilizer that they use for wine in some of the large manufacturers, and it's a gluten extract. But also, if it's barreled fermented, they often seal the barrels with gluten. And so that's going to leach into the wine. And when somebody told me that, given my background as a Sicilian and growing up with wine on the table every night, I said, oops, I think I got a problem here. But the truth of it is, it's everywhere, if you would say.
Yeah, it is. And that's, you know, just your baked goods and your breads, kind of the tip of the iceberg. For people that really, really need to avoid it, you've got to look into things like your lotions, your hand creams, your lipsticks, postage stamps, anything that it can be used as a thickener for, gluten can be used for.
Postage stamps. Tell us about that one. Yeah. That's a new one on me. I mean, between you and Sue and Mary Jane, you know, you're keeping hidden secrets here. Postage stamps?
It can be, yeah. So they need to be really careful.
Wow, that's amazing. So quit licking your stamps, everybody. You're going to have to put them on one different way, or, you know, use that sponge to get it done. I'm glad you told me that. That's the last stamp that I ever lick. Now I know why I don't like the taste of it.
Or just buy the non-licky kind, just the sticker stamps. We have those now.
So tell me about, you know, and tell us about the impact of gluten. You know, is it just an intestinal tract situation that we have to worry, that we bloat, we get distended, we get a little inflammation, or is it a systemic problem that causes other issues that can be quite serious as well?
That is a fantastic question, and the answer is no, it is absolutely not just limited to the gut. There are people that think my gut feels fine. My digestion works just great. I don't have diarrhea. I don't have constipation. So therefore I can handle anything, right? My gut is strong. It's a monster. But gluten sensitivity can show up in brain and neurological disorders, headaches, seizures, schizophrenia, ADD, depression, anxiety. It can show up in hormone issues like Hashimoto's, miscarriage and infertility, pancreatic problems. Blood sugar dysregulation has an absolute tie with gluten. Gluten sensitivity can show up with musculoskeletal pain, fibromyalgia, osteoporosis, muscle spasms. It can show up with skin disease. Remember I mentioned that lotion. People that are putting it on their skin can end up with psoriasis or eczema. And then you've got your GI issues, which are more common in children than in adults. Only about one-third of adults experience GI symptoms when we're talking about gluten. But that's the acid reflux, the intestinal pain, the bloating, the gas, the cramps, irritable bowel type stuff.
So here's the million-dollar question. Is gluten the culprit, or is immunological weakness the reason that we can't handle gluten? Is gluten going to be problematic over a period of time to anybody, and some people much more so in the early stages, or is it because of the other? How would you look at it? Which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
How about we just ask, are both the chicken and the egg there? And the answer is yes. So let's deal with both the chicken and the egg. You know, what comes first, I'm not sure, but what is there, we are sure. And we know that when you're talking about severe gluten problems, where it goes and damages the intestinal lining of your intestines, you know, 20 plus feet of intestinal tract, that's some significant damage, but it also just kind of creates inflammation. Your question was about, remind me.
I know, I have a bad habit of that. No, my question is gluten the thing that causes immunological suppression, or is the immunological suppression which causes the gluten sensitivity?
Right, right. So Dr. David Perlmutter is a neurosurgeon, a neurodoctor, and he's also a nutritionist, board-certified nutritionist, which is kind of a rare combo. And he basically presents that it is the trigger for neurological disease and basically the cause of inflammatory processes that then starts the immune system. Yes, there are the genetic components where we can be predisposed to those triggers, but he says if 40% of people can have a reaction to gluten, what about the other 60%? Should we be looking at the brain health and what the inflammation of the gluten is doing to our brain and our immune system?
And that's the truth. And the years I've been in practice, what I've noticed with so many people is, you know, people who are stuck on their grains, if you will, they're grabbing a sandwich here, they're eating a pizza there, they're, you know, they're doing things that have gluten influxing into their body. They're the ones that particularly my patients have a tendency to be with me many, many years. And I see what happens, a slow degradation and breakdown of immunological responses within the system. And then here's the other piece that people aren't quite aware of is that, you know, today, if you watch television, you're seeing all these drugs out there that are based on, they're called biologics. And what biologics do is they suppress immune reaction and function in the body. But in doing that, they're upregulating the reaction from things like gluten. So now you have a inflammatory reaction that is being artificially suppressed, but now you don't have anything to heal with because the body needs a low level of inflammation. So now you go into this chronic situation where now you don't have a defense mechanism and now you succumb to something else. But the issue with this is profound and it's across the board. And you mentioned, you know, Parkinson's and Alzheimer's as neurological types. The gut, the ability to digest, heart disease and so forth. All of these have a connection to our grains and gluten. Is that true or not true?
That's absolutely true. And like you mentioned, we talk so much about inflammation, it being bad. Inflammation is actually really great. It's how the body has developed its mechanism of healing. It's supposed to be a spot treatment, though. There's an injury to the body mounts a reaction, we get some inflammation, it sends in the necessary components to heal that injury, and then it resolves, and then it turns off. It's excessive inflammation or chronic inflammation that really becomes problematic. And grains are being indicated in that more and more, and it's creating excessive inflammation. It's directly linked to tissue damage that accumulates and eventually triggers dysfunction in the body.
You know, I hear Sue coming home over the years, and you know, particularly the last, probably last decade, and you're there with her shoulder to shoulder, and you hear people say, I don't cook, you know, and you look at them and say, okay, if you don't cook, how are we going to fix you, right? And they want to go out and they want to grab a sandwich from some fast food place. Or they want to grab something that it's coated with, you know, I have shrimp. Well, they're deep fried with something on top of them, right?
Right.
It's called
breaded.
Right. And so it's a difficult challenge to get rid of all the gluten. And you said earlier, creams, facial creams and makeups and lotions and so forth, they all have gluten because of the stabilizing effect. And also the absorption pattern is enhanced by it, but it's deadly. It causes that underlying reaction. What do you see? And we're going to get into that. I know I'm just touching a lot of topics, but I want our listeners to understand that this is far more serious than what they might think. Can gluten predispose the body to different types of degradation, arthritic degeneration, and cancers?
Absolutely. Dr. Thomas O'Brien in the Autoimmune Fix book, he talks about that practically every degenerative disease is linked to excessive inflammation, including cancer, heart disease, diabetes, lupus, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's. And he says now we're even finding that it's linked to atherosclerosis, the plugging up of your pipes, so to speak, and cancer, and that this inflammatory cascade that is in part triggered by gluten is pervasive in its evil nature, I guess, so to speak, and that we really need to be paying attention to what is going on and participating more fully and being in charge of our health, recognizing that the food industry is not there to help.
I need to hold that thought. We're coming up to a break, and we're going to continue right on that same theme when we come back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. This is a fascinating topic. We'll be right back after some important messages. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday. I have a very special guest, Annabeth Goss, one of our nutritionists at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. Amazing human being and professional. She has an insight to things that are incredible. You know, she works hand in hand with Sue. And at this point, she's kind of sliding in. As many of you know, that Sue's kind of sliding out after a whole lot of years. I was almost going to say how many, and I decided I better not do that because I have to live with a woman. And I could be in real deep trouble. Anyway, Annabeth, welcome back. This Wednesday evening, you're going to be doing the 6th of April. You're going to be doing a presentation at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, 7 o'clock, on gluten and the impact that it has. And we were talking about all the problems, you know, from autoimmune conditions, irritable bowel problems, and so forth. We've got a short segment right now. What I'd like to talk about is let's take it from its source. You know, let's talk about the second brain being the gastrointestinal tract. And we know that it produces tons and tons of stuff. And most people think that's where gluten has its impact. It's in the gut. We just said before it's not. We'll get back into that in the second part of the program. But let's talk a little bit about its impact in the intestinal lining and the intestinal wall and what happens.
Sure. So inside the intestinal wall, the main job of that intestine is to keep everything in that should be in and keep the stuff that's out, out. And when we eat gluten, it produces, our body mounts the response with a protein called zonulin. And zonulin is a little protein that helps transport nutrients in and out. It allows the junctures to open up a little bit in those epithelial cells in the lining. Well, if we eat a lot of gluten, the body produces a lot of zonulin, and that allows those junctures to open up wider, and things can get into the bloodstream that are not meant to be broken, parts of food that aren't completely broken down like they should be. And then when those are in the bloodstream and they can end up in different parts of the body says, hey, this is a foreign invader, and it will mount an immune response to it. So that gut lining is hugely important. It also has the gut has about 70 to 85% or more percent of our immune system in it. You're talking about it being the second brain. It really provides a lot of the first line defense that we have against foreign invaders. So the integrity and the health of the gut is crucial to keep strong. And gluten is not one of those components that helps us keep it strong.
You mentioned zonulin, and zonulin is the good news and the bad news. It's, you know, it's one of those double-edged swords. You need it,
Yeah. And
it's the glue, if you will, that keeps the cellular network, the filter closed, and has an automatic opening piece. But it's supposed to control it. It's supposed to allow food, once completely digested from the intestinal tract, to be gently absorbed into the body so the body can use it. But if there's too much zonulin because of irritation and inflammation, that gate opens wide, and now things rush into the body that haven't been broken down. And the body, because its lack of digestion, looks at it, as you said, as an invader, as somebody that shouldn't be there. And that's where the inflammatory cascade comes from, and said, you know, this is not good, and then further suppresses. We talked about the second brain. The intestinal tract produces 75% of all of the neurotransmitters that the body makes. And so if you're eating gluten, it can't produce the levels of serotonin and dopamine and theanine and taurine and that the body needs to function, that the neurological system needs to function. That's one of the reasons that we get this inflammatory reaction and leading to Alzheimer's and MS conditions and Parkinson's and so forth. And I know this Wednesday you're going to get into that a bit and you know, get into that a little deeper, but that's critical.
Absolutely.
What happens?
It is.
Is there a predisposition? Somebody's eating gluten. Is it because it's not being digested, or they don't have the enzymes to break it down? And because you hear people talk about, well, it's the staff of life. You know, we go back to the old Ezekiel breads and things of that nature, but it's not based on what we're talking about. You know, where's the differentiation here? I know there's a lot of information.
You know, that is a fantastic question, because I really like that comment, the staff of life. I like who said it. I think that originally grain was probably really good for humankind, but grain is not what grain used to be, and neither is our genetic pool what we used to be. We're kind of unfortunately, maybe the sickest set of humans that have ever been on the earth.
Are you saying we're less than? Go ahead.
The grain is different than what it used to be, with the hybridization, the genetic modification that it's gone through. And you can go into Europe or other parts where they're still growing the old grains, the emmer and the einkorn and stuff like that, where people's digestions and their brains don't mount that response to it. So I think that we have to take into consideration where we are personally, where we are collectively, and where our food system is at this point in time, and say, even if it worked decades or centuries ago, how is it working with me right now? And if it's not working, then you're better off trying to avoid it or looking into seeing if it is a problem for you.
So not only that our food supply has been altered, and we've talked privately and we've on the air many times, that the amount of gluten that is in bread today that you go into the store and buy is about 10 times or more than what it used to be years ago. And it's a different type of gluten because it's been modified that we have multiple proteins, not just one. Where back in the day, the body system was stronger, but now our immunological reactions have been beat up, so we have the genetic pass-through that we're not who we used to be, if you will. And so we can't even handle even the good stuff anymore, and we begin to see. And I want to get into what you talked about of why things were, if you go to Europe, they're much easier there. I go to my father's homeland in the mountains of Sicily, and I can eat foods there that I can't eat here. And I want to touch upon a little bit about that when we get back after this break. But this is a fascinating program. It's one that people really need to appreciate and understand. And what we're going to let you know is that you can be healed. This can be turned around. You can modify things. The body's extremely forgiving. We're coming up to a break. Yeah. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. My guest, Annabeth Goss, nutritionist at the Rozelle Center for Healing. We'll be right back after some very important messages. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. What a fascinating program today. We're talking about something that all of us love to hate, and it's called gluten. And that's all your grains. That's all the stuff that you want to go and grab the sandwich and the pizza and the things that are breaded and pop in your body and so forth. And your facial creams, as we talked about, and things of that nature. Wow, right? We're surrounded by nastiness and things that our body has become much more sensitive to, if you will, over a period of years. By the way, we're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. My guest, Annabeth Goss, nutritionist at the Rozelle Center for Healing, somebody who's in my bandwidth, is incredibly amazing in her knowledge and her ability. We're glad to have her. She's been with us now for quite a while. And, you know, this Wednesday evening, the 6th of April, 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. She's going to be your host, your presenter. So join us. All you have to do is go to Rozelle Care, RozelleCare.com, and register. Scroll down. You'll see it. Plug in, and we'll reserve a seat for you, and we'll confirm. And or simply call the office at 703-698-7117 and register for the class. And we'd love to. Very proud of our facility. We'd love to show it to you. And we're very proud of our nutrition department. And Annabeth is an integral part of that piece. Annabeth, welcome back. Let's get into talking about this gluten situation. You know, everybody loves their breads, right? I grew up, here's a Sicilian kid. I grew up with pasta and pizza. And I was the muscle behind, you know, kneading the bread every Saturday morning for my grandmother, 10 to 15 pounds at a time. And now we're sitting there, which she never knew how to do anything in small amounts. And, you know, the following Saturday, the same thing. But the stuff that I grew up on, the wheat that I grew up on, was very different back in the day than it is today. So let's take that a next step a little further. And I know this Wednesday evening, you're going to really take the lid off this thing. You're going to talk about the fixes and what can be done and really the manifestations. And we touched about, you know, the neurological disorders and the immune suppression and allergy reactions and so forth. And it's not for the weak of heart. I mean, this is something that is real serious, but we could save a lot of lives if we really got it together.
Yeah, it is. And it's very important to appreciate the fact that the older wheat or different grown is different than what we're experiencing now. The proteins are different. It's higher protein. They actually add high gluten flour to the breads. It's not just your typical wheat, water, oil, and yeast mixture that you're dealing with. Mark Hyman says that the way in which we grind our flour and the way it's grown produces a much higher starch content compared to what our ancestors ate.
That's right.
And he says that the average whole wheat bread has more sugar content than sugar. If you have two slices of whole wheat bread, you're going to raise your blood sugar more than if you ate a candy bar.
Oh.
So not only does this increase in blood sugar lead to obesity, it creates the silent killer of inflammation, which we know is at the root cause of most of the chronic illnesses that doctors treat every day. So, I don't think people recognize, wow, this thing that's whole grain for me really plays a deep role in my blood sugar dysregulation and how that affects my other hormones. And it's just kind of a cyclical story. And you can take yourself out of that cycle by eliminating gluten from your diet.
Yeah, it's really important that people understand how deadly this is. And it goes to the processing. It's not like it used to be made. And, you know, you're particularly now if you're dealing with white breads, and a lot of the whole grain breads are still milled in a way that the consistency, if you can take the bread and you can ball it together and make a ball out of it and you can throw it at somebody, you know that it's not what it was meant to be. It should fall apart. It's not adequate. So the other piece is that gluten is glue. And it can be plastered in Paris. We were in school, an experiment. I remember this going back years ago. We took white flour, we put water in it, just a little bit of salt, and we mixed it so it was really thick consistency. And we were able to put it into a hole of plasterboard, right? And let it dry and then sand it down. And it acted just like plasterboard. And that's what happens in our gut. It gets in there and it does exactly the same thing.
But let's talk, it can be very damaging.
Let's talk about what it is, the sensitivities and the impact. And I know that you've seen it personally in your own life as well.
Yeah, a number of years ago. Well, I should start just my third child always tended to be very moody, and she was a very stressful child for me. And one day when she was about 11, she asked if we could go outside for something, and I said no. And she just had a meltdown, and I sent her to her room. A little while later, I went in after her tears had stopped, and I asked, hey, honey, what's going on? And what she said stopped me dead in my tracks. She said, Mom, I feel like I have the sad disease, and I can't get happy no matter how hard I try.
Wow.
And I thought, this girl just self-diagnosed herself with depression. She's 11. I don't ever want to use that label around her because I don't want her to live up to that label. And providentially, a week earlier, I had just been listening and watching a webinar with school from a doctor who works with brain chemicals, and she presented a case study of a 12-year-old girl that had depression, irritability, anxiety, and the fixes for it. And so I asked my daughter, hey, would you be willing to do these same measures and remove gluten from your diet for 3 weeks and see if that makes a difference? And she said, absolutely, yes. And I'll tell you, we did. And within 3 days, she was different. We had an intern living with us, not related to us. And this intern remarked after 3 days, wow, what's different with Elizabeth? Something's very different with her. And she stayed gluten-free really, really good for about a year. And then for another 2 years, tried, but it was difficult. But it got her through a real rough spot of learning how to handle her neurological responses. It was just setting her over the edge. And I hear that frequently from parents. You know, my kid has gut problems, or my kid can't think is another one. It just causes brain fog. And a patient just told me this past week, my son asked me to stop making him pancakes in the morning because the day I fed him pancakes at work, at school, he couldn't think very well. So it's just very, very pervasive, and we don't naturally associate it with gluten.
So people need to understand, you know, what we said, and this is just a springboard off of what you just related to us, is that the gut, the intestinal tract, is the second brain. And the correlation is because it produces 75%+ to 80% of all the neurotransmitters that the brain and the neurological system needs. Dopamine, which is your upregulatory, neurotransmitter, serotonin, which is a relaxation down regulatory pattern, GABA down regulates the system. So you have your hyperactive kids, that those two things don't exist. And you have people who are depressed that they can't get their dopamine levels up. It's very identifiable.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how much time we have in this next little bracket, but I was talking with an acquaintance in the Midwest, and her daughter's going through IVF and they can't get pregnant. And I just mentioned that I was reading one of these gluten books and how the author was struggling with infertility too. And he went gluten-free with some other things, and within 6 weeks they were pregnant. And my friend that I was talking to said, oh, I guess maybe my daughter could try going gluten-free. That does seem to be pretty extreme, but she could try that. And I thought to myself, removing something from your diet is considered extreme, but IVF is not. And it just kind of made me question, where are we thinking that we can't correct our body with the food choices that we're making?
Well, that's exactly the situation. You know, anything that we do that becomes our identity, if you will, is something that is very difficult for any of us to change, whether it's a habit that we have. We chew gum all day long. We shouldn't be chewing gum. We're producing digestive enzymes that we don't need at the time. Plus, it's causing the TMJ to be dysregulated because everybody chews generally on one side, virtually the other. But try to get somebody to stop that. It's just as bad as getting them to stop cigarettes. The wow. chemical addiction, the emotional, the persona addiction. But you know, we get a piece of gluten, whether it's bread, whether it's a pizza, whether whatever it is, and it makes us feel good, fried chicken, because it increases the cortisol production in the adrenal system, which is your, if it stays up there too high, you have an inflammatory. It increases the production of an adrenal hormone out of the adrenal cortex. So you have all of this stuff that is addictive, if you will. The behavior is addictive. The chemistry is addictive. You know, the reactions are addictive. So, yeah, it's difficult. It's hard. And, you know, we have patients that say, I'm not going to do that. And then you and I laughed earlier and we said, well, it fixed me, but I don't cook. That's right. On your plate, girl. You have to deal with those. I don't.
Well, come and I will help you find things that you don't necessarily have to cook. How about you just reheat? Somebody said, I don't cook. I just reheat. And I said, great. We're going to buy frozen veggies and frozen chicken, and we're going to reheat. And we're going to navigate all of the challenges that you think, and you'll learn to cook, and you'll learn that when you eat better and you feel better, you're willing to put in the time. You realize that it's an investment, not just for current, but for future. And people will change. They may say, I don't cook now, but never say never.
Well, that's the whole piece. You know, you do things incrementally, slowly, step by step. And,
absolutely.
You know, I spent a lot of years from this going way back in the day, January of 1994 until January of 2001. I was the on the road doc with a guy by the name of Tony Robbins. And a lot of people know who he is, a very amazing life motivator, coach, business personality, and so forth. And when you realize that your life, where you are at this moment in time, is nothing more than the decisions that you've made up until now. You know, and somebody said to me one day, said, well, why do they advertise that? Nobody says that it's bad for you. I said, because there's an agenda. The agenda is to sell product. And unless they
can. A lot of money.
And a lot of money. And unfortunately, that's what you see. And it's very difficult to grow good stuff. It's a little bit more expensive. But if you learn how to cook, you can dwindle that expense down, you know, but if people go out and catch as catch can, it's a whole different situation. Let's talk a little bit about the impact. And this is the piece that coming up right now in the spring, we have allergy reactions going crazy. And can just the shift in the awareness of gluten make an impact on allergy reactions in pollens and mold and fungus and so forth?
You bet, because the body has a limited number of resources. So if you're at war with Navy and Army and, I don't know, paratroopers, you got to mount a huge wide defense against all sorts. But if you can eliminate one of those and just focus on two, or eliminate all of them and just focus on one, your body's going to have a better time responding. So if you are able to eliminate gluten or any offending agent, maybe it happens to be sugar, maybe it happens to be dairy, but we're focusing on gluten, that will allow your body to use its resources to help with handling the pollen and the other environmental allergies that you're dealing with right then. It also has better resources to deal with them, but it's also not in such an inflammatory state that what you are experiencing doesn't tend to have as bad of a reaction. So yeah, the body is very adept.
What's the direct relationship between, you know, we've been talking around it, but we haven't gotten to it. the relationship between gluten sensitivity and intestinal tract problems such as colitis and Crohn's and so forth, is that directly related, or is it just a coincidental situation? Because most physicians don't look at them. Some, but not many of them. In your opinion, and then we'll talk about the testing that goes with that.
Yeah, I would say it's absolutely related. you know, it comes down to what the doctors are going to test and what the doctors are familiar with. They're very familiar with identifying a disease and giving you a medication toward that. But most conventional doctors aren't very familiar with telling you what foods are and are not appropriate. So if you have irritable bowel syndrome or ulcerative colitis and your gut is inflamed, and they'll give you a protocol that doesn't necessarily involve removing gluten, they're missing part of the point there, because that gluten is inflammatory. So decreasing the inflammation is going to help across the board.
You know, back in the day when I was an intern, this is going back a lot of years ago, right? There was a patient that came in with ulcerative colitis. I'll never forget this man as long as I live. He was in his early 30s. He was having bloody bowel movements about 25 times a day. And he was down to a skeleton. And I didn't know, you know, what I knew today, but I knew from, because I had already taken my first 100 and some odd hours in acupuncture while I was in school. And I knew that the acupuncture channel that related to the small intestine and the large intestine were totally ridiculous. They were depleted. They were erratic and so forth. So we started treating him, and we decided, you know, we got to change his dietary pattern. And I had what was called a barefoot doctor. This is a doctor of Oriental medicine that was our instructor. And he said, look, he has to avoid this. Basically put him on vegetables and proteins. And they had to be certain types and so forth. And literally within 30 days, the bloody bowel movements were gone. He was down to about 5 or 6 bowel movements a day. And we followed this young man at the time all the way through. Young man, I was the same age. And we won't look at the clock now. But at the end of it all, he completely healed. Problem was, he thought that, oh, I'm good now. And he went back to it. And it took him about a week, 10 days. The body will change. It just needs a lot of time to reset itself. And he got it. But, you know, the second time around, particularly when he started getting explosive patterns again. So this is the type of thing we're looking at. It's not okay.
No, it's not okay. And it takes some change. It takes some mental capacity to say, listen, here's an issue. I need to make a change. Sometimes it's too hard to do it on my own. I need a coach. I need a support team. I need to bring in my own A team. And I need help understanding, because there's so much nutritional confusion.
Let's follow up when we come back. We've got a break, hard break coming up. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. My guest, Annabeth Goss. Don't go away. We're talking about your guts. We'll be right back.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizzo here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live, as you do every Sunday on the Eastern Seaboard. Same old time, 12 noon, 12 to 1. We're back in our old place, and we're going to stay here. We're not going to get bumped anymore, which is really a good thing. Fascinating program today. We're talking about gluten and gluten sensitivity. And by the way, you know, as I always like to acknowledge and thank our men and women in service, because you do reach out, and I try to get back to you. But be very careful with the food that you get, you know, in the ranks, if you will. I did that. I went through that, spent, you know, some time with, you know, good old United States Marine Corps down at Quantico, Virginia years ago. And, you know, when you go to mess, it's not necessarily the best food. It's what they can produce the most inexpensively. But if you can stick to your proteins and your vegetables and things like that, you'll be far better off. But I thank you. And if there's anything that I can do for you, don't forget to reach out. Just simply go to RozelleCare.com or DrTomRozelle.com. Either way, the message will get to me. They're both interlinked, and I will get back to you. This Wednesday evening, the 6th of the month already, Annabeth Goss, my guest today, will be your host, your presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing. She's going to be talking about gluten problems and the intestinal tract, but neurological ramifications and so forth. Welcome back, Annabeth. Let's get back into the program a little bit. We're going to do two things. One, tell us a little bit about what the program is going to look like. How are you going to structure it? What are you going to cover? You know, what are you going to be doing?
Great question. So we're going to break it down so that it's easy to understand and not overwhelming, because any change can be overwhelming, especially if you don't understand the why. So we'll just break down what gluten is, where it's found. We'll talk about the difference between some gluten sensitivity and celiac. They're both, they're different, but they're both harmful. And then we're going to talk about what harm does gluten cause. We'll touch on the types of inflammation. We'll touch on if it's harming you through your blood sugar increase, if it's harming you through leaky gut increase, if it's harming you through antibody increase, and how all of those increase inflammation, and inflammation drives disease in the body. Then we're going to talk about what does being gluten-free mean, and do I need to avoid it 100%? Spoiler, the answer is yes. We need to talk about how to avoid. And, you know, the good thing between 2022 and 1980 is that there's gluten-free stuff that doesn't just taste like cardboard now. So there are a lot of options and alternatives. And also that we don't want to just strictly go to gluten-free stuff because it's primarily made by potato starch, tapioca starch, rice flour starch, which is a bunch of starches, and those can increase your blood sugar and lead to that same inflammatory cascade. So we want to be smart when we make these changes and not just consider it a fad, jump on the nearest bandwagon. We want to know why we're doing it and how to do it accurately. And then it's a change of lifestyle for your future health so that it's not just I do it for 6 months, I do it for a year, and then, oh, okay, good enough, done, so that we have that true change that's lasting for us.
It's really important that people understand that they have control over their own lives, that they can make
Absolutely.
A difference. You know, we're locked into an environment that everything's expedient. It's fast food this, it's quick this, it's, you know, we're on our cell phones, and if somebody doesn't answer our text in 2 seconds after we send it out, we get irritated. And we don't have the time that we want to sit there. It's like, this is a crazy world. You know, I grew up where you sat down, you know, Sundays, the whole family was there. And we got up in the morning and, you know, I had to go to the beauty salon with my father. My parents were hairdressers, right? They had built a salon. And I learned how to write the checks and do the ledger and so forth. Then we went and we picked up my mother and we went to church. And then from there, we went to my grandmother's house and the family was there. You know, there was my mother's, there was us and my mother's sister's family and, you know, and that's what you did, but you enjoyed the moment. We don't do that anymore. But we add that to, you know, the stresses that today's world, and then we add that to foods that have been adulterated, you know, and we have to do fast food, everything. And what we're finding is our expediency is becoming much more inefficient, but our inflammatory levels, because of the stress patterns, because of the quickness, because of in this case, we're talking about grains. We're talking about wheat and rye and barley and so forth that have high levels of gluten, and they've been modified. And, you know, as I said earlier, you know, my having grown up in an Italian family, a glass of wine on the table was different then than a glass of wine on the table now because of the gluten that they use to seal the barrels and actually to stabilize the wine in many conditions. I know many of you are right now saying, what? I have to give up my wine. Well, maybe, or you're going to have to switch and do something different. You know, we're talking about, you mentioned with your daughter and the depression that she went through. I want to touch on that a little bit because so many people right now are in a bad way. Kids were staying home over the last 2 years with this crazy COVID situation. And so they were eating junk. Mom and dad just gave them stuff just to quiet them down. But all these things have measures of gluten. And is that part of what we're seeing right now, in your opinion?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Of course, I like my opinion, but that is my opinion. That yes, absolutely, we're seeing an effect in that. And you add on top of that the mental component of society has changed and the social structure and the social rules of how we are around people and stay 6 feet away and can't see faces. All of that is compounded. And then we throw in the feel good foods, the mac and cheese or the pizzas because it's just easy. It is absolutely affecting the children and how we're thinking and processing things for the worse.
It's really unfortunate that we have put ourselves into a society that really doesn't ascribe value to what goes into our body. Now, not everybody, obviously. You know, there are people who understand what you and I understand, and they do the best they can to support their families. There are people that, you know, to me, understand it intellectually, but emotionally, they can't get themselves to come around to the fact that what's going on with their body with heart disease and other problems are problematic. But I know this Wednesday evening you're going to get into that in detail. We're coming up, unfortunately, to the end of the program. This thing goes way, 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 way too fast. But my guest today, Annabeth Goss, she'll be presenter this Wednesday evening. Go to resultcare.com, call the office. But, you know, we do this because of one thing, and one thing across the board, our staff is dedicated to you simply because of one thing. We love you. See you next week.
Yes. Bye.